out in Ephesians 1. And then we have a couple people lined up for Ephesians 2 and 3. And then after that, if you would like to read, you can come up. Otherwise, I will come back up here. Start with Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. With a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summoning of the all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end which we were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease in giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought out about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace You have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at the time of Christ, were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit.
For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before, in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call, the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for the very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. At this time, if anybody has thing that jumped out at them that they'd like to talk about, and I guess start with Ephesians 1, and we'll go through that. I mean, it's a pretty familiar scripture to us, but sometimes something jumps out, catches your mind or eye. Stephanie.
I always think the verse 4 in chapter 1, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless. And my note partway through the chapter is just the admonishment to live worthy. We've been called by the King of the universe. Our lives are not our own, but we've been bought with a price, and so we are his. And so that ought to be on the front of our minds every day. We need to live a life worthy.
Very good. Anybody else? Ephesians 2, anything there?
Oh,
you can go back to one. I won't stop you. He's mentioning of you, of them in his prayers. He's talking about that too. It's good. Yeah, he does talk about praying for the saints often, and later at the end, you know, always praying. It's mentioned also. Ephesians 2, anything?
So many religions, and even sometimes we think, like, oh, kind of really
Yeah.
100% to His grace.
And just in case you weren't you were confused, verse 9 says, "Not as a result of works, lest any man should boast." That those two verses are tied together really well, and I remember learning that as a child, and it's definitely a good way to point out where the salvation is coming from.
I like the contrast in verse 4 compared to the first three verses. It starts out verse 1, "And you were dead in your transgression, trespasses and sins, in which you were formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved."
Yeah. Yep.
It says in Romans 5, the famous verse, that God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
But we had no recourse of our own for that salvation.
Nope. That's it lays it out pretty clear. If kids and adults alike, remember that Ephesians 2, chapter 2, 1 through 9 can lay out how lost we are and what God did. Pretty straightforward. You almost don't need to go anywhere else. And the only reason you would is just to show that, it's backing it up. So, very good. Anybody else on 2, or we'll move on to 3?
Tied along with that, he says that Christ, in verse 14, himself is our peace. So just the embodiment and the achiever, the giver, the bringer of peace between God and us, and between us as we walk in.
Yeah, with the making a visual aid there of breaking down the barrier and the dividing wall. Yeah. For it is impossible for us to please God without Christ. Anything else? In chapter 3 then.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing special about us. We're his people, and it's wonderful what God chooses to use us.
Yeah. It's because of his great love.
Thank you.
chapter 4 or anything. Yeah, it's like he's covering all the bases. He's just going down, check. There's all's from the one, you know. Yeah, very good. Nathan. Being that that's a higher rank there, you know, I mean, he'd much rather be there too. He wants to be a prisoner of Christ because that means you do everything that Christ says, right? Yeah. I like the reminder in verse 4, 2, and 3 of building up one another and having humility and gentleness and patience with one another and, to preserve unity, right? I mean, so that, you know, if you're trying to pick fights with one another, that doesn't really help, you know what I mean? And knowing that we all need to be shown gentleness and patience. I use pastor's analogies a lot of times, even at home, is patience is most needed when you, it's most difficult when it's most needed. Is that how you say it? I think so. And it's true all the time. It's true at home. It's true here. So... anything else in 4?
Just how important it is. We are called to be people of God's word, that our minds might be continually renewed, that we might be continually shaped into the image of Christ, and we're laying aside the old man and the former ways of living.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, in the, I guess my Bible has a label above some areas, you know, talking about what Paul's talking about. And above 17, it says the Christian walk. And from 17 to 32, it's talking about how us as Christians need to walk. And even though just prior to that, he said that we formally did all these things. Again, it's almost like, well, and then don't forget that you shouldn't steal and you shouldn't. I mean, you know, it's like those, you know, the one that used to steal, then start working with your hands. I mean, so yeah, it's we have to be reminded, I think, even on the big things, funny thing that that is, but
the call to maturity in verse 14 of everyone, we are no longer to be tossed, children tossed here and there. There's that, you know, the walk comes after, built upon the reality or built upon the foundation of us being mature and knowing who we are in Christ, what he's commanded of us, what he's done for us, that we are not to be, as a group, not to be those who are so easily swayed or so easily captured, but to be corporately mature and grounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can compare it to a body again, you know, with all the individual parts and joints. And all right, chapter 5, anybody?
I think that the Lord has been doing a lot of work in my own heart and mind, just as I've been thinking and meditating, and I've been a number of months on Paul's admonition here in the inspiration of the Spirit about some things. It's disgraceful even to speak of some things. I mean, we have to be mindful, you know, to have that careful wisdom. There's time to expose things, but other than trying to deal with them properly, to even talk about some of these unfruitful deeds of darkness is even disgraceful just to speak of them. There is a thing of it's profaning even to speak of gross things. Mm-hmm. I think that is a thing that we need to be mindful of. Particularly in a time when there are no parameters upon shocking speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I want to bounce back to 4 at the very end, of course, to reiterate, especially for my children and children, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. It's very important to remember.
Stranger, what to say, what to share, what to witness, a kind deed, whatever it might be, we have a multitude of opportunities that present themselves during the course of our days. Mm-hmm. And we need to be wise in making the most of that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes a door is only opened once for a short while, and then that opportunity is lost. Reminds me of Evan.
In verse 20 of chapter 5, he reminds us to always give thanks to all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God.
That's right.
And the Father.
That's right.
I think it's just today, reading it today, the simplicity or just the abruptness of verse 17 stands out. Don't be a fool, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he moves on. Because so often there's the big question, what is God's will? What is God's will for my life? And His will is clear and it is apparent, evident to walk in a holy way, to love the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that He's been speaking about in the first three chapters and applying so far in the last two, it is the outworking of that exact reality. But it's that, don't be foolish. Understand who the Lord is. And also, it was up.
Yeah. Chapter 5, verse 22 through 33, talking about marriage and is like Christ in the church, and just how strong that bond needs to be, and the love that each of us needs to show together.
we were talking a little bit in youth group on Sunday about questions that might be asked by unbelievers. Some of the questions we don't necessarily know all the answers. It's okay to say, "Oh, that's the end of it all."
Chapter 6, anything? Toby.
In verse 13 it says, take up the whole armor of God. And do everything for Him and all you say and do anything.
Yeah. Talking about standing firm and being prepared and what we need to be prepared, and the analogy of the soldiers' pieces of armor has always been, I think, a really, really good analogy, a fun analogy, especially for young ones. I remember getting that whole little set, and I was more interested in that than the verses, but then that it gave opportunity for my grandpa and my mom to say, well, you know, this is for this, and then they talked it through, and it's good. Yeah, every once in a while I kind of wish I was back in the Old Testament when was it Elijah said, oh, look at the mountains over there, and all the angels were up there and ready for battle and didn't know that he was being, that all that was there. That sometimes kind of wish that was the case nowadays. You know, like, all right, let's see where we're protected so we can, yeah, like the donkey kind of take the path that didn't want to get the angel of the Lord. But we don't need that. So we have the Word of God. But anything else on chapter 6?
Marianne
and Stephanie.
Just the
Yeah, that is the truth. Stephanie?
Well, and just the urgency that we need to be on the alert at all times. Flaming arrows from the evil one are constantly being shot toward us, and so we need to just continually be on the alert, never think that we're just safely gliding through. That is to say, we just need to keep strong in Christ,
yeah,
in his word.
Well, you know, the shield of faith, if you aren't thinking about it, you're not using your faith. I mean, you're right. I mean, if that makes you aware that things are going on. So,
you think, yeah. Be Christians like that. Being that deer in the Far Side comic, he's got the bullseye on his chest. His buddy says, "Bone of a birthmark." You know. We're in a battle, and we've declared our allegiance. And the enemy does not like us because he does not like Christ. He can't get to Christ, he tries to get to us. And so it's foolish to walk around with a bullseye on your chest and not put your armor on.
Yeah. Amen. Well, with that, thank you all who helped read. And I'll close in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can gather here together and read your word. We're so thankful that we have that freedom and that we don't take that lightly. Lord, there's many places around this world that they can't do this. And I pray that their struggles will prevail, but we know that you are in control in all circumstances. And I pray that we will continue to hide your word in our hearts, and like Marianne said, be willing to share our testimony. Lord, I just thank you for this family that we have here, and I pray that you will bless us and keep us unified. And in Jesus' name, amen.